everyone, Rob here, again joined by Jerry.
Hey guys, what's up?
And it is day three of our 12 combos of Christmas. Remember, these are all modern combos, and these are like somewhat relevant modern combos currently. And today's episode is a very special deck because this, Jerry, this is the deck that a lot of people know you by, and today's deck is Ad Nauseam.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
This deck has been around for quite a while. Not really a whole bunch of new cards to the deck, but we'll be talking about all of that and more as we get into it. But first, let's go ahead and just talk about, why is it called Ad Nauseam?
The deck name came from, obviously, the main card in the deck, the Ad Nauseam. The deck originally appeared in Extended during the final year of it when it was a 7-year deck. Ad Nauseam is a 5-mana instant, 3, a black, and a black. Reveal the top card of your library. Put it into your hand. You lose life equal to its converted mana cost. You may repeat this process any number of times. So, ideally with this, we want to find a way to put as many cards in our hand as possible without killing ourselves. Well, we figured that out. Angel's Grace was the first card, and this is what it made it possible in Extended. Angel's Grace, 1-mana, white instant with split second. Split second is as long as the spell is on the stack. Players can't cast spells or activate abilities that aren't mana abilities. So what'll happen is Angel's Grace will go on the stack, then it'll come off the stack, and then we can continue doing whatever it is we're doing. It says you can't lose the game this turn, your opponent can't win the game this turn. Until the end of turn, damage that would reduce your life total to less than 1 reduces it to 1 instead. Since you can't lose the game, you're going to use Ad Nauseam to put the whole deck in your hand. And then you're going to amass several different ways to win. The most original way to win was 3 copies of Simeon Spirit Guide to make 3 red mana, and a copy of Lightning Storm. Red and 1, instant. Lightning Storm deals X damage to target creature or player, where X is 3 plus the number of charge counters on Lightning Storm. Discard a land card. Put 2 charge counters on Lightning Storm. You may choose a new target for it. Any player may play this ability, but only if Lightning Storm is on the stack. So what'll happen is you'll cast a Lightning Storm, you'll hold priority, and you'll discard enough lands from your hand, which is your entire deck, to make sure that you've dealt lethal damage while holding some over in the event your opponent has a bunch of lands and they want to throw the Lightning Storm back at you.
Yeah, nothing is more embarrassing than seeing an inexperienced Ad Nauseam player dump all their lands into Lightning Storm and then say, good game, and their opponent's like, hold on, discard a land, and redirects it all at you.
And your combo fizzles, and you're dead on the untap phase of the next player's turn. Because you have no life, and Angel's Grace wears off. The whole combo is, at least the main portion I just mentioned, is all instant speed. That's the appeal of this deck right here. The fact that you can do this at the end of your opponent's turn, or in response to a fetch land, or in response to a lethal combat phase, you have the opportunity to wait until the last possible minute to go off. The other appeal to it is because it's instant speed, Force of Negation actually has to pay mana when you do it at the end of their turn. So let's see here. Other pieces of the combo. Eventually Phyrexian Unlife would get printed in a new Phyrexia, where it has the important effect of you don't lose the game for having 0 or less life. As long as you have 0 or less life, all damage is dealt to you as though it had a source of infect. All damage. Ad Nauseam does not deal damage. Ad Nauseam is loss of life. The rule in Magic is damage is loss of life. Loss of life is not damage. So with a Phyrexian Unlife on the battlefield, Ad Nauseam does the same thing, and it puts all the cards in your hand.
Another thing with that too is if your opponent takes a big swing at you and it knocks you to less than 0 life, that is still taking negative life points. That is not going to draw into infect damage. Then it's not going to convert over to a source of infect, correct?
Correct. The example I give here is, let's say your opponent has a Mantis Rider and you are at 2 life, and you have a Phyrexian in life. They attack with the Mantis Rider. The damage is dealt simultaneously. You go to -1. Now, where does this change? Let's say your life total again is at 2. Your opponent has a Mantis Rider and a Thalia, Guardian of Thraben. First strike is dealt at a different stage of combat than is normal damage. So they'll declare their attack. Thalia will deal the 2 to you. You'll go to 0. Then the Mantis Rider will deal 3 to you, and because it's a separate instance of damage, and you're at 0 or less life, this is infect damage, and you'll be at 3 poison.
Correct. So, big things to keep in mind as you're going through with this, your first time running it. You definitely want to pay attention to where you are with that. But we have other cards that can save us, too.
Oh, yes. Let's see here. Other ways, the deck has historically won. Conflagrate, for those who are familiar with the Dredge, and you'll eventually hear that video if you haven't heard it already. The Dredge deck plays Conflagrate as at one time Ad Nauseam did, because you have all these Simian Spirit Guides. If you have your whole deck in your hand, you can use a red to put the Conflagrate into the graveyard, and then pay 2 red and pitch your 40-something card hand to deal 40 to their face. Other ways, we used to have Laboratory Maniac as a creature in the deck. One blue and 2 for a 2/2 human wizard. Whenever you would draw a card from an empty library, you win the game. If you put the entire deck in your hand with Ad Nauseam, and with all the Simian Spirit Guides, Pentad Prism, and Serum Visions, you're able to chain off a storm chain of, I'm going to play this Lab Man and draw a card from an empty deck. Key thing to note here, if you have Lab Man on the battlefield and you're casting Ad Nauseam, that does not win you the game. You're not drawing cards, you're revealing them and putting them in your hand.
Yeah, that is different.
Let's see here. Other ways we used to win. This one was only in extended for a short period of time, but it was a real goofy way to win. The card called Inner Fire. It was 3 and a red. Add red to your mana pool equal to the number of cards in your hand. It's a common from Kamigawa. So you did the Ad Nauseam with the Angel's Grace. You put the deck in your hand. You exiled 4 Simian Spirit Guides, and you have 4 red mana. You would then use a Mana Morphos to turn 2 of that red into black and black. So you would have black, black, and then 40-something red. And then you would cast the card Repay in Kind. Each player's life total becomes the lowest life total amongst all players. Since you're at negative life, your opponent would be at negative life with you.
Nice. I like that. That's a fun one.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's not the most optimal, though. Right. Not anymore, anyways. But it was a way around, in the event that someone would have a ability to give themselves Hexproof, that was a way around that.
Okay.
Back in the day, this was before Lab Man. Like, we had to have ways around this stuff.
Yep.
the number of things you can do. Shortly after War of the Spark was printed, we saw Jace Wielder of Mysteries, a popular man in the Pioneer format, but we played him for a short period of time in Ad Nauseam because he himself was actually a fine draw to play as a Planeswalker. Being able to draw cards and make your opponent mill a couple is fine. And then being able to draw from an empty deck with him on the field wins you the game is the other part that's important. So immune to Bolt, immune to all removal spells that target creatures. It was an upgrade from Laboratory Maniac, so we ended up coming off the Lab Man for the Jace. And then the advent, the queen herself, the Thassa's Oracle. The blue for a 1/3 Merfolk Wizard. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is your devotion to blue. Put up to one of them on the top of your library and the rest of the bottom in a random order. If X is greater than or equal to the number of cards in your library, you win the game. So if your deck is emptied with Ad Nauseam Angel's Grace, you play the Thassa's Oracle. Even if they kill it, your devotion to blue would be 0. Your deck size is 0. You still win the game.
Now, this seems like I'm looking at the lists here. We got Thassa coming in at blue and blue. We're casting a 5-mana instant. How are we able to get this deck off so quickly?
Artifact mana here. Lotus Bloom, Pentad Prism, and then obviously the aforementioned Simian Spirit Guide. Lotus Bloom is just a bad black lotus, but a bad black lotus is still a black lotus. Suspend 3 for 0, and then after the third time counter comes off of it, you sacrifice it, add 3 of one color to your mana pool. That gives you a probable turn 4 kill. And Pentad Prism, 2 with a Sunburst ability. For each different color of mana, it gets an additional charge counter. So you remove a charge counter from Pentad Prism, you add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. So with your mana base, if you tap to produce a white and a blue, Pentad Prism comes in with 2 charge counters. Key interaction note, if there's any spells that your opponents have that make your spells cost more, say like a Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, you can actually produce white, blue, and then let's say you produce black, and the Pentad Prism comes out with 3 charge counters.
Oh, very nice.
Let's see. That we have to dig through our deck another way. We have to dig through our deck to find our combo.
Yep.
Because we're trying to assemble piece A with piece B. Thassa's Oracle not only wins the game, but it also allows you to look for combo pieces as well. And it keeps them on top of the deck, safe from hand removal. So that's fantastic. We like it for that reason. Four copies of Serum Visions, pretty self-explanatory. The question here is, do you go with the one copy of Sleight of Hand or the fourth Thassa's Oracle? Me personally, I go for four Thassa's Oracles, but the one Sleight of Hand has relevance because if you turn one a Sleight of Hand and you get to see a Lotus Bloom, you get the highest odds of having that turn one Lotus Bloom. The last card I want to talk about is the one, the last search piece that I want to talk about is Spoils of the Vault. It's a black for an instant. Choose a card name, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a card with that name, then put that card into your hand. Exile all other cards revealed this way, and you lose one life for each card exiled this way. Spoils of the Vault allows you to combo as well in several different ways. Let's say you're on turn three, you played a Pentad Prism on turn two for two charge counters, and you have a third land. You play it, you have five total mana. Let's say you have Spoils of the Vault, Angel's Grace. That's a kill hand. You play the Angel's Grace, you can't lose the game this turn. You cast the first Spoils of the Vault, naming Thassa's Oracle. Flip cards so you see Thassa's Oracle. The Oracle goes to your hand. All those cards go to the graveyard. You play the Thassa's Oracle. Hold priority to the Enter the Battlefield trigger. Cast Spoils of the Vault. Name a card not in your deck. Flip over the deck. You can't lose the game this turn, so your life total is irrelevant. Thassa's Oracle trigger resolves. You win the game. Spoils of the Vault is also an instant. So in instances where you have high amounts of mana, which do come up, you know, you have 7-8 mana on the battlefield, and your opponent taps out for something that they think they're safe with. Like, let's say they tap for a Teferi Time Raveler, and you go, in response, Spoils of the Vault, hold priority, Angel's Grace. I can't lose the game now. Spoils of the Vault, naming Ad Nauseam, reveal till you find Ad Nauseam, then cast Ad Nauseam, put the deck in your hand, kill your opponent with Lightning Storm at that point.
Excellent. So we have a lot of very fast ways that we can win with this deck. We're able to generate that vast amount of mana to get that 5 mana instant speed spell off as early as, what would you say, Jerry? What do you think is the earliest we can win with this deck?
With the aforementioned card, turn 3. With the backdoor entrance, turn 2.
Excellent.
The turn 3 win is turn 1, land, doesn't matter. Turn 2, Pentad Prism for 2. Turn 3, land, and a Simian Spirit Guide with the Pentad Prism is 6 mana, Ad Nauseam, Angel's Grace.
There you go.
And then, of course, the back doorway is turn 1, land, SSG, Pentad Prism for 2. Turn 2, land, you have Spoils of the Vault, Angel's Grace, Thassa's Oracle. You cast the Thassa's Oracle, hold priority to the trigger, cast the Spoils of the Vault, hold priority, cast the Angel's Grace. Angel's Grace resolves. Spoils is on the stack. And the reason I do it this way is because with Spoils of the Vault on the stack, you don't name the card until it resolves. So if it gets countered, at least you can, or if the Thassa's Oracle ability gets stopped, you can name a card with Spoils of the Vault in your deck rather than naming a card not in your deck.
Okay.
If that makes sense to you. Yes. That's why you do it that way. So you Spoils of the Vault, name a card not in your deck, Thassa's Oracle trigger resolves, you win the game.
So normally whenever you name cards that aren't in your deck, people like to have a lot of fun with this. Jerry, what is your favorite card to name?
Oh man, Savage Beating. it's a real magic card. It's a 5 mana sorcery with Entwine from Mirrodin that gives additional combat phases.
Yep.
It's just one of those goofy commander cards. It's called Savage Beating. Other cards I've named in the past, sometimes if I really don't like my opponent, I'll name a card in their deck.
Oh, nice.
Or I'll even one-up them. Like, if it's game two and I won game one and I'm winning game two, I'm going to name a card from their sideboard that I know they definitely played.
Okay. Like, something they would have brought in to try to beat you.
Yep, something they would have brought in to try to beat me. Like, hey, look, you're humans. I'm going to name Meddling Mage. Ha ha, gotcha. Ways to protect the combo. Currently, the most common thing you see is Pact of Negation. 0 mana instant. It is blue. Counter target spell, beginning of your next upkeep. Pay 3 blue. If you don't, you lose the game. Because of Angel's Grace, Pact of Negation can act like a poor man's Force of Will.
Yes, because remember, so you can't lose the game.
Correct. You can also, in certain instances, you can use the Pact of Negation's To protect spells on your turn, and then ad nauseum on your turn for fair to find at the upkeep to find the Angel's Grace to not die. And you have a handful of cards. So there's sometimes you're doing things for combo, and sometimes you're doing things just to put a lot of cards in your hand. It just depends on the situation of the game.
Yep. Now, would you say there's any key sideboard cards you would also need to put into this deck in order to protect yourself?
Okay. Every ad nauseum sideboard plays four copies of Leyline of Sanctity. If it's in your opening hand, it starts on the battlefield, and you have Hexproof. This prevents you from getting Thought Seized. This deck used to be really, really soft to Thought Seize effects. Now, with the advent of the redundancy of Spoils of the Vault, Thassa's Oracle, Angel's Grace, Phyrexian Unlife, ad nauseum, it's a little less soft to that. They need at least two or three pieces to really hit you. But we still want it. We're still soft to it, but not in a way of I lose to the first Thought Seize cast. Being able to stop those is important. Veil of Summer has been added to the deck. Every deck list at least plays two, sometimes three. One green mana instant. Draw a card if opponent casts a blue or black spell this turn. Spells you control can't be countered this turn. You and permanents you control gain hexproof from blue and black until end of turn. Stops a Thought Seize. Stops a counter spell, and it acts like silence against Teferi Time Raveler decks.
All right.
So you can cast it before doing anything. Other than that, you want a smattering of creature removal and hand interaction, depending on the matchup. If your opponent's control midrange, Thought Seize is pretty good. If your opponent is playing some type of creatures, Slaughter Pact, Path to Exile are awesome cards. Cards you want to be on the lookout for when playing this list. You don't want to get hit by a Chalice of the Void. Can be pretty bad if they go on zero and you're on the multi Lotus Bloom path. So you'll want your copies of Echoing Truth to beat that. Remembering that Force of Negation is a card, so you have to do it on their turn, which wonderful option of the deck. Killing them on their turn is a thing. And anything that taxes you for playing multiple spells in a turn, Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, Damping Sphere, cards like that.
And then lastly here, a big question I always like to ask, playability for a newer player. Do you think this is something that we need to, like, they should probably have a little bit more experience with the deck before they go to an FNM, say with Goldfishing and that, or is this something that I can sleeve up and get ready to go play?
This is a solid 8 out of 10. You definitely, the rules interactions with this deck are weird. You have to understand the stack. You have to understand sideboarding material against your opponent as well, because now you are playing cards to protect yourself from certain things. This is a very difficult deck to pilot, but when mastered, it is one of the best decks to play.
Well, I think that's going to... Oh, no, one more thing here. We haven't had any cards really get banned out of this deck.
Actually, yes, we have.
Ooh.
Ponder and Preordain.
Oh, okay. Way back.
We used to play... Ponders and Preordains and Peer Through Depths used to be our way of doing things, as well as like a single copy of Mystical Teachings to instant speed tutor up your ad nauseum.
Now,
other like there were a lot of cards that this deck has seen play with, like other ways to win the game. Like Vendilion Click has been in the sideboard. The original 5-mana creature Teferi was in the sideboard. Grave Titan's been in the sideboard. I've played Scytherix the Blight Dragon in mirror matches to win.
Nice.
Like this deck has played and gone through a lot of cards.
Okay.
Godhead of Awe used to be a card that we would have to use to fight Death Shadow. It's a creature that the Death Shadow deck can't kill because the Death Shadow deck has every possible avenue of attack against the deck. They can attack our hand, they attack their spells, and they produce a fast clock. So you turn their creatures off by playing this 4/4 for 5 in 5 white and blue hybrid mana to turn all their creatures into 1/1s. Well, this kills the Death Shadows, and this makes the Gurmag Anglers bad.
Yes. All right. Well, I hope that was very educational for y'all on Ad Nauseam. Ad Nauseam is a very fun deck to pilot. I will give it that. Watching Jerry pilot this. Jerry, you took this to I believe, a 10th place finish at the Cincinnati Classic about a year and a half, 2 years ago, correct?
Yeah, that was really the last open event I've really played with this.
Yeah.
In bigger sense, that is.
Yeah, and Abe was there in 9th place with Phoenix. But watching you pilot that deck, it's incredible because you would think, having a little bit of an understanding, the lines that you can do, but then watching you just completely go outside of the box, it's like watching Tyler play Titan. Amulet Titan. It's incredible, the lines that you can think of. Sometimes the luck that comes with it too, whenever you're trying to spoils of the vault for, you know, that Angel's Grace that you really need.
Hey man, gotta risk it for the biscuit sometimes. Those are the best ones. Spoiling in the blind. Matter of fact, that was my back in GP Charlotte, the one where everything went downhill.
I beat 2016 Charlotte, never forget.
Yeah, never forget. I beat the reigning world champion with this list by blindly naming Angel's Grace with Spoils of the Vault at the end of my opponent's turn, him casting a cryptic command and me firing a pact at it. So I'm like, all right, I need to hit the Angel's Grace. And what was the top card of my deck? Angel's Grace.
That was pretty good. That was Seth Mansfield, correct?
Yeah, it was Seth Mansfield.
And this is definitely something. I think it's a good bragging point here. And the article that Seth posted then the following week after GP Charlotte made specific mention of getting absolutely wrecked by Ad Nauseam. So, Jerry, yep. You absolutely wrecked Seth Mansfield. Good for you on that one.
Hey.
All right. Well, again, that's going to do it for us here. Thanks again to everyone for listening. Don't forget to check out the rest of our podcast we have up on iTunes and on Spotify and on Spreaker. You can also find us on MTGcast as well as a whole slew of other Magic the Gathering podcasts. You can catch us on all social media outlets, and that being Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch. And keep an eye out for all of our other content we do have coming out on YouTube as well. One more thing I want to talk about, I forgot to mention at the beginning of this episode, we're currently doing a promo with Deep Dive Games down here in St. Mary's, Georgia. At Deep Dive Games, you can find the latest and greatest gaming content from D&D, board games, tabletop miniatures, and of course, Magic the Gathering. If you subscribe to us on YouTube and send us a message with proof of your subscription, you'll be awarded a one-time 5% off discount for any online or in-store purchases until the end of December. This is our little Christmas gift to y'all for kind of the terrible year that 2020 has been, if you will, and we just want to give something back. So again, be sure to check out Deep Dive Games as well as our YouTube channel for that 5% off discount. But that's going to do it for us. Have a fantastic evening.